I can hear the questions. Doesn't Christ dwell in the heart of every believer? The verse said that Christ may dwell. Doesn't Christ dwell in the heart of every believer? And the answer is no.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This broadcast program is coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. And this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will continue his message taken from his main text, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Last week, Pastor Brian brought before us from this text three big things God has already provided for every believer, and this evening's message picks up that theme with a third point. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, asking God to do big things.
Jesus came from heaven and died on the cross. And today he offers us salvation full and free. And my friend, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have to come seeking. He's seeking you. All you have to do is to receive the salvation he offers freely. And I pray, my friend, that you would do so today. God has extended his infinite, limitless, unfathomable love to us. And God, we just thank God for all he has done. But here's something else I want you to put in your notes. Every believer has already received unfathomable love. Here's the third thing. Every believer has already received God's unimaginable power. We miss that sometime. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 reads thus. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that what? The power that works in us. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is working in us. Every believer has already received God's unimaginable power. So stop setting limits. Are you with me? Stop setting limits on what God can use you to accomplish. We love to look at others. Oh, I wish I was like brother so-and-so or pastor so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Listen, pastor so-and-so has no more access to God's power than you do. I hope you're listening this morning. I hope you're listening, because some of us make all sorts of excuses for ourselves as to why we're not living for God. But every believer has already received God's unimaginable power. The power of God is at work in every believer. Imagine for a moment that you were a child in a super rich family. You wanted a Ferrari, it's yours. You wanted a week in Europe or Tahiti, no problem. Whatever you want is yours. Well, wake up. That's just a dream. But make no mistake, as Christians, we're in a far better place. Oh, take a moment to let that sink in. As Christians, we are in a far better place, for as members of the royal family of God, we have access to God's unlimited resources when we're seeking to carry out God's plan and purposes for our life. You notice the last part I said there? When we are what? Seeking to carry out God's plan and purposes for our life. God's unlimited resources are available as we are seeking to carry out God's plan and purpose for our life. Listen, what a God who doesn't love us if it's a God who is going to allow you and I to use his unlimited resources to do anything and everything we want to do. Are you with me? That wouldn't be love. Because God knows, teenager, God knows what's best for you. And so God's unlimited resources are available to you to carry out his perfect plan for your life. Did I say perfect plan? Didn't I say it? Let me say it again. His perfect plan. You say, what God, why don't you let me carry out my plan? Because your plan ain't that good. Can we be frank? Your plan is a mess. Can you want? Let's be honest. And if you're anything like me, left to me, I want to carry out what I want to carry out. Amen. I want to do what satisfies BHG. But you see, when we truly satisfied the Creator, when we are walking in his plan, it's an amazing thing how satisfied I am. It's an amazing thing how satisfied you will be when you are doing exactly why God made you. Are you getting it? If you're achieving, if you're executing the purpose for which God made you, how could there be anything better? So just keep that in mind. Amen. No, let me jump along because I'm running out of time here. Our sinful nature makes us focus on getting whatever we want. But God has given us access to his unlimited resources so we can carry out his perfect plan. And there's nothing more satisfying than experiencing God's plan and purposes for life. You know, sometimes God's plan is going to put you into the thick of risk and excitement. I gave you this story only one time I remember ever telling this story. Well, so let me tell it again. Brother Andrew, true story, was just an ordinary man who lived during the Cold War. I read this story when I was a teenager, and I've never forgotten. You know, during the Cold War, those were the days when communist Russia and its satellites advocated the destruction of religion. Christian leaders were jailed and executed, and bringing Bibles into communist country usually resulted in death. You don't realize how bad it was. The gospel was hated so much, the Christian Bible was hated so much, that if you had a Bible, you would be killed. But Brother Andrew felt compelled to take Bibles behind the Iron Curtain so people could have a copy of the Word of God. Let me just pause here. Can you imagine? He was so anxious he'd risk his life so that people could have a Bible. Guess what's in my mind? You want to tell me what I have in my mind? Tell me. Somebody must know where I'm going. You have a Bible. You know, many of us have the Bible. But what are we doing with it? Are you with me? This Bible was so precious. This man was risking his life so people could have access to the Bible and read what God has to say. And we have the Bible. And we miss how precious it is. We miss that this is the Word of the living God. Take it up. Young adult, take it up. Don't leave it on the shelf. It's life-changing. It's powerful. It's authoritative. It is the Word of the living God. And I challenge you, stop putting your Bible on the shelf. Brother Andrew, he was risking his life so that people could hear, get the copies of the Bible So he loaded up his Volkswagen Beetle. Some of you know what that is. He loaded up his Volkswagen Beetle with Bibles. And time again, he would smuggle Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. Sometimes the border guards would be busy, and he'd be able to slip in without a search. But that was not always the case. And here's one of the stories I remember reading. He was about to cross the border. Every car was being searched this time. In fact, two cars ahead, they were being searched. They were searched for an hour. Even the seats were taken out and searched. They took out the seats of the, in case there were things hidden under there. Brother Andrew knew he needed divine help, for his seats and trunk were packed with Bibles in plain view. He was going to have to rely on God to do the unimaginable. So you know what he prayed? You want to hear his prayer? Say yes.
Yes.
Here's the prayer. You ready for the prayer? He prayed, Lord, when you were on earth, you made blind eyes to see. Now I pray, make seeing eyes blind. Do not let the guard see those things you do not want them to see. Can you imagine? The guards searched his car with all those Bibles staring them in the face and did not see them. What an awesome God we serve. They did not see them, although they were staring them in the face. What a mighty God we serve. God is a miracle-working God, and he's already done big things for every Christian. I'm so glad I could tell a whole lot of testimonies here today. I could tell a lot of testimonies. Even this morning, I was shaking, but right now, I'm not feeling shaky at all. Amen. By the power of God, I feel like I could preach God's word today. Amen. Let me share with you three big things to ask God for. Can I leave that with you?
Yes.
I think I'm on the last page of my notes, so don't worry. Three big things to ask God for. One, ask God for spiritual strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. His prayer starts by focusing on the inner man, not the flesh. We're in such a materialistic society. Many, if not most, of our prayers are focused on the flesh. We are focused on what I want. Oh God, give me this. Lord, give me that. Give me a good job. Give me a promotion. Give me a house. Give me a husband. Give me a wife. Listen, don't get me wrong. It's okay to ask God for stuff. So keep praying. Keep asking him for the wife. Keep asking him for the husband in accordance with his will. But if we really want Christ to be at home in our hearts, we need to stop only asking for things to satisfy the desires of the flesh. Am I right about that? We need to stop only asking for stuff. I can hear the questions. Doesn't Christ dwell in the heart of every believer? The verse said that Christ may dwell. Doesn't Christ dwell in the heart of every believer? And the answer is no. Christ lives in every believer, but Christ does not dwell in the heart of every believer. There is a big difference. The word dwell carries the idea that Christ may feel at home in your heart. Let's look at a couple of verses in Galatians. Let's put Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Don't miss this. Our flesh is in conflict with the Spirit of Christ. So if our lives are captivated by what the flesh wants, stay awake now, don't lose me yet. If our lives are captivated by what the flesh wants, you can be sure the Spirit of Christ is not at home in your heart. Amen? There is a high cost to living for the flesh. For if Christ is not at home in our hearts, we will not see him exercise his unimaginable power in our lives. Are you getting out the connection? Are you connecting the dots? It ties the idea of experiencing God's unimaginable power is tied to Christ being at home in our hearts. And if all we are praying about is stuff for me, how I can advance, we're missing it. Amen. So may God help us to yield to the Spirit of God so he can strengthen our spiritual lives. Ask God for spiritual strength. To ask God for spiritual depth. Amen. Ask God for spiritual depth. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and height, length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Notice two key words in verse 17, rooted and grounded. Amen? Write this in your notes. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. Let me say that again. If you don't go deep, you can't go high. Write this. You will never rise to your spiritual potential if you don't go deep. A tree's deep roots provide nourishment and stability. Oak trees have very deep roots. As a result, they're able to withstand very high winds. And my friend, we need to be deeply rooted in the Word of God. So let's make sure your Bible isn't dusty. Oh, I know some of you don't use Bibles anymore, but whatever you use, make sure you're using it. Here's something. You will never fathom, write this, you will never fathom the heights of God's love if you don't go deep. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 makes it clear. We will not grasp the dimension of God's love. We will never grasp the dimensions of God's love unless we are rooted and grounded. So how do we go deep? How do we go deep? Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read verse 12 and 14. For the truth, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's still a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice what is happening? Those who by reason of use, amen? Reason of use. We must get serious about God's word, amen? Put that on your notes. We must get serious about God's word. We will never go deep unless we spend time in God's word and apply it to our lives. We must spend time but we must apply it to our lives. Finally, ask for spiritual comprehension. Ask for spiritual comprehension. We're back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ask for spiritual comprehension. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 reads like this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The word translated comprehend in verse 18 carries the idea of thoroughly grasping the full meaning of something. And my friends, we need to spend time in God's word and in corporate Bible study to fully grasp the meaning of what God is saying in his word. Amen? We need to spend time, not just by ourselves, but this is why God has placed the church. That's why we have Bible studies, so that we can grasp, we can comprehend some of what God is saying. Amen? And then when we comprehend, we can apprehend. And apprehension involves laying hold of God's word for ourselves. I'm just about done. God wants to do some big things in our life. And I pray today we'll, each of us will make a commitment to God and determine before the Lord, God, I want to grow. Yes, God, I've heard you, and I want you to do some big things in my life. And I'm going to take some of what you have shared with me today. God, I'm not going to just walk away and almost like I wasn't there and I didn't hear what you were saying. God, I want to grow. And I'm going to take the steps. I'm going to make sure that I pursue after you and pursue after the things of God. Has God spoken to your heart today? If so, I pray that you will make a total commitment to him. Father, thank you for your word. Continue to work in our lives. Thank you, God, that you have a desire to do big things for us. Lord, so many of us are missing out because we are satisfied just with the fact that we know we are saved. But God, you have so much of a bigger and better plan for us. Oh God, I pray that if there's some Christian here who has been half-stepping, not totally committed, I pray you may speak to that heart today. And for the person who is not sure they are saved, I pray today may be a day of decision, a day when they decide, wow, if this God has such big plans, I want to get to know him. I want him to transform my life. I want him to use me. I want him to do great things through me, so that he may be glorified. I want to be saved today. Work in hearts now, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.